Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we are with MIT-trained scientist Dr. Indranil Ghosh, who is an investor, entrepreneur, and advisor to governments around the world. He was head of strategy at Mubadala and Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund and held senior roles at Bridgewater Associates and McKinsey & Company. He is the author of the book, Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. And Dr. Ghosh, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me, Eric. It's a real pleasure to be on the show.
And certainly our pleasure, and looking forward to hearing from you today specifically. So as we enter a new decade, can you suggest a few key trends in the 2020s that business owners need to be aware of or prepared for? Certainly a great place to kick things off here today.
I think the 2020s will be marked by a drive towards sustainability and inclusion across everything that we do in business and investing. Now, when I was at Mubadala over a decade ago, the concept of the double bottom line in business was just quite a new concept. And the idea that you could do good business while doing good for society was quite a new idea and just beginning to take to catch on. But I think roll the clock forward a decade, and it's becoming more and more mainstream as more and more people realize that there's no reason why you can't make a tidy profit in a business while doing environmental or social good at the same time. And if you look at what's happening in the investing world, a lot more capital is being allocated to companies and projects that have this double bottom line type mission. In fact, in one of the latest studies, it showed that about a quarter of the assets under professional management in the U.S. Are in, you know, some form of ESG products, which is products that aimed at environmental, social, or governance goals. And what I think that means for business owners is that there are great opportunities in pursuing business ideas that, you know, help with some of the big challenges that we face today.
And certainly appreciate your focus and input there to kick things off here today, and some good information to kick off a new year as well. Now, sustainability has been a buzzword this past year. Can you explain how corporate sustainability affects businesses of all sizes and some of the steps to achieving sustainability?
Well, I think in most businesses, there's a lot that can be done in areas like sourcing, raw materials, energy, the various products that you sell, to make sure that they're coming from renewable and socially responsible suppliers. So making sure that your energy is coming from renewable sources. This is something that practically businesses can sign up to with the right energy providers. Making sure that if you're a retailer, that your brands come from clothing makers or consumer product makers that are using fair labor practices, that are using renewable materials as much as possible, trying to solve the plastics problem. So all the inputs into your business are something that you have a lot of control over in terms of helping to promote the sustainability movement. I think in the same vein, sustainability applies to the people in the business, to make sure that, you know, you have people from diverse backgrounds, that you have equal pay for, women and men, male workers, as well as making, opportunities for people from different minorities. Because as we all know, talent is universally distributed across people. So casting a wide net and getting in people from all walks of life gives you the best access to talent and ideas. And the studies have shown over and over again that when it comes to making complex business decisions, having people with different perspectives around the table leads to better decisions and better business, ultimately. So those are at least two things I think that sustainability means and, you know, businesses can do very practically going forward.
And certainly do appreciate those tips. Most helpful today, we're joined by MIT-trained scientist Dr. Indranil Ghosh, an investor, entrepreneur, and advisor to governments around the world, and the author of the book Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, speaking of your book, your new book, Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century, which will be released in late March of this year, covers a wide range of economic issues. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and what businesses will learn by reading this book?
Yeah, I think that the central idea of the book is that if you look at all the things that we need to get right to improve society, whether it's alleviating poverty, solving for the climate crisis, whether it's having greater inclusion of people from all walks of life in business and giving people equal opportunities, there are a huge amount of investments that need to be made to achieve this better future. And one way of looking at what's required and how much money is required to invest in the right initiatives is to look at the UN Sustainable Development Goals, which cover a wide range of things that we need to get right that I've just touched on. Now, some of the estimates in terms of how much money we need to invest in building up infrastructure, our social services, decarbonizing, our industry and infrastructure, the estimates go into something in the order of $5 to $7 trillion per year on a global basis. That's what we need to invest. And more than half of that is currently unaccounted for in government budgets, right? So this is an investment gap, if you will. And I actually estimate that the gap is even larger than that, because the UN SDGs don't explicitly include the investments we need to make in childcare and lifelong learning, which are two very important things we'll have to address going forward. So my guess is that there's a funding gap of $5 trillion in the world per year for the foreseeable future to achieve this sustainable goals that we want to achieve. Now, if you think about how much taxes are raised across the world, that's only $25 trillion. So public money can't be the answer. It's very important that government and public schemes, set the right incentives and make the right investments. But at the end of the day, you're not going to raise taxes by 20% across the board worldwide. What you have to rely on is business and investors using private capital and private enterprise doing the right thing as well and mobilizing all that wealth, which is $200 trillion in the world, private wealth, mobilizing that wealth to advance these goals. And that's going to come about by investors and businesses in changing the way they do business to do so in a sustainable way, as we just talked about a little earlier in the show. And so the book is really about what are the different areas we need to invest in, and how do we need to set up our political and economic systems in a way that we have the right institutions and the right incentives for capital to flow into these sort of sustainable directions.
Well, it certainly sounds like a must read, and really appreciate your making the effort to write this book and make it available. Now, lastly, as we conclude, what are some of the political or governance changes that you see happening now or in the future that will affect business owners?
I think some of the biggest opportunities from a political and governance standpoint are making sure that we set up the right markets and the right incentives for sustainability and inclusion. So, for example, setting incentives so that private capital as well as public gets invested into areas which need a lot of development, economic development. So whether that be, for example, rural areas in the U.S. that maybe have suffered from decline in agricultural businesses, or migration of farm workers to cities may have been hit by the loss of manufacturing industries, which used to be in suburban and rural areas, or even the loss of industries like coal. These have had a really debilitating effect on rural areas in America and small towns, and in many other developed markets around the world as well. But having putting in place incentives like carbon credits that will reward farmers who farm regeneratively and put carbon back into the soil, which you can do with modern farming methods, and create carbon sinks or encourage reforestation programs. Turns out, you know, rural areas are sitting on extraordinary natural assets, which could be used to help address some of our climate change problems. And if the markets are set up in the right way, in which farmers and foresters are incentivized to pursue those businesses in a sustainable way, we can have a sort of a regeneration of rural areas, and put money and wealth back into those regions and allow them to sort of revitalize themselves economically. I think there's also a real opportunity to promote different models of business when it comes to some of the basic services that you know, people need, like housing, education, a college education, healthcare, and childcare. If you look at the cost of living and how that's changed over the last 20 or 30 years, many of the things that we buy, things, you know, like electronics or just goods, just stuff in general, has gotten cheaper on a real basis. But our services that involve people delivering services to each other, like education and healthcare, have soared in price. And that's because a combination of wages have risen and we haven't had some of the technological breakthroughs that enable more productivity to take place. We don't have the new business models or delivery models that allow those services to be delivered in a more productive way. So I think, you know, again, incentivizing greater efficiency, better outcomes in some of these social services and social goods, but potentially offered by innovative private sector models, is another great, you know, change in the sort of political and governance that could take place in the coming years. And finally, I think a third area that's probably going to, you know, be looked at and change over the foreseeable future is how our personal data is managed. Because at the moment, if you think about where all of the personal data about you, whether your health data or your shopping transaction data, your personal data, where does that sit? It sits, a lot of it, in some of these large technology platforms like the Amazons and the Googles of the world. And it's unclear, you know, how much control you have over that information and how it's sometimes being used. So I think we'll see a more thoughtful regulation coming in, hopefully, to give consumers more control over their data and how it's being used, and so that they have choices about whether, you know, that data is used to in exchange for free services, or whether people want to hold on to that data and protect their privacy and their security.
Well, we certainly can't thank you enough for joining us here today, Dr. Ghosh, on Enterprise Radio. And if listeners wanted to get more information on your book or yourself, where's the best place online to get further information?
Well, you can pre-order or buy a copy of the book on Amazon, just under Powering Prosperity. And also you can visit the book website, which is powering-prosperity.com. And you can find about more information about our newsletter, and some of my conferences and speaking engagements as well there.
And that sounds like the place to visit. Again, Dr. Ghosh, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Indranil Ghosh, an MIT-trained scientist, investor, entrepreneur, and advisor to governments around the world, and the author of the book Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. And for all the details, visit powering-prosperity.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.